Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So Forbes just released a list of the 10 richest YouTubers. And there are many people now that have been able to leave their jobs because they make good YouTube videos and they get watched enough where it generates revenue for YouTube, and then it generates revenue for those people who make those videos.
Because the YouTubers make the videos, and then it is a magnet to advertisers who then come along and say, hey, can you place this Coca-Cola Zero in your next video? Or can you place, can you back this Jeep Wrangler with the nameplate into your next video?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why some people make money on YouTube videos. But there are plenty of videos that get millions of views that the advertisers haven't gotten to yet. And the one I'm going to tell you is one of them. The person who made the eighth most amount of money on YouTube last year is 6 years old. He made $11 million. And he was the eighth. He made the eighth most amount of money as any YouTuber last year. He's 6 years old. His name is Ryan. And
little bastard.
And he makes YouTube videos reviewing toys. It's called Ryan Toys Review.
No, I could do that. It could be Brewster's Toy Review.
Well, then you should have done it before this six-year-old.
I would do it for $11,000, let alone $11 million. Come on.
A six-year-old boy made $11 million last year making YouTube videos. Six! Now, look, before
he's not even tall enough to reach the pedals. Come on.
Before we start getting crazy, his family, they're all YouTubers, and he's just the youngest brother. So, I mean, at six, I don't know if he would even know how to make a YouTube video.
Well, he probably would. That's the key here. I'd say he probably could show us a thing or two.
But his whole family, or many of the people in his family, they all have YouTube channels and they all make videos. And they said, well, we'll let our six-year-old here, Ryan, have a YouTube channel too. And so Ryan started doing toy reviews. He was reviewing toys and he made $11 million last year, a six-year-old. Before you want to feel like jumping out of a window, again, I think his family is the one who set up his channel.
I think
his family is the one that probably titled it and typed in everything you need to type in.
And this was created when he was four. This has been around his channel, Ryan's Toy Review.
He's a multi-millionaire. He's six.
On YouTube. It started in March of 2015, so he would have been four. I mean, you could say, sure, his family started it, but he's got to sit in front of the camera. I have not seen one of his reviews, but I guess he takes the toy unopened and you see him opening it. So I don't know if you've ever watched I'm like a guitar gearhead and guitar pedals and that type thing. And one of the things that you'll see in a review, it's not just, well, it does this, it does that. It'll be the complete opening of the box. Okay, so you open the box. Here's what's included. Here are the any hardware that you would need to assemble or anything. So I think I'm guessing it's probably like that. Little Ryan opens the box.
Well, I'm watching one right here.
Okay.
He's reviewing a cardboard vending machine, a DIY candy dispenser.
I have one of those.
and this cardboard candy dispenser vending machine. It's and he's sitting there eating it. And it's got Skittles and Reese's Pieces, and it's got M&Ms. It's got hot tamales, and Mike and I
love the hot tamales.
And Mike and Ike's, and he's sitting there, and he's eating this candy. And he's talking about the DIY candy dispenser. He's six, and last year alone, he made $11 million. It doesn't say how much he made the year before and the year before that. He's a multi-millionaire at six. And again, when it comes to the top 10 YouTubers and how much money they made for the year,
right,
he's eighth overall.
Now, if you're wondering about child labor laws and that type of things, there are rules that govern how many hours a day a child as young as Ryan can work, but no such rules exist for a child working on YouTube. Says Tony Casale, CEO of Children in Film, quote, all of the laws for child performers are regulated by state. The federal government leaves it to the states. There are 17 states which basically have no child labor laws around performance. According to the Texas Workforce Commission, for example, when a business is owned, this is quote, when a business is owned or operated by a parent or legal guardian, the parent or custodian may employ their own children at any age to work any hours so long as the work is non-hazardous, not prohibited, and the child works under the parent or custodian's direct supervision.
Well, the first video he did was back in July 2015. The video featured six-year-old Ryan opening and reviewing a giant egg surprise box containing over 100 toys from Pixar's Cars series.
Bingo.
Right now, that video has 800 million views. And they get paid. Once it gets past a certain amount of views, he gets paid every time the video gets watched. It's a penny or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I'm not sure how all that works.
But that his first video when he was four, a four-year-old did a video that has 800 million views. You know, and we keep being asked here by the people that work here, hey, we need you guys to make videos. We got to try to get viral videos. Viral videos is where it's at. I know it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Right.
And then you look at this, and you're thinking a 6 year old has figured that out.
And then they wonder why we're not so gung ho about making videos of us standing around going, wake up, honk honk.
You got a
6 year old with 800 million views of one of his.
Well, you got to figure out how to make a video that's going to get millions of views, whatever it is.
I suggested
what you say, what you do, whatever it is.
I suggested I take a Lodge frying pan. Now, see, I worked in a sponsor already, the Lodge black iron, cast iron cookware, and I just hit you over the head with it as hard as I can. And then we can add in all kinds of like funny sound effects and everything. That was rejected.
Hmm. I've got a suggestion. I got a suggestion too.
All right.
Because I remember when I was younger, condoms used to be called rubbers. I want to go into several different stores and just walk right up to the counter and say, rubbers, please, rubbers, rubbers. You do that at a few different stores, and I think
the problem with that is we're supposed to do a video together, and I ain't doing that. Put my foot down. I'm gonna put my foot somewhere.
Well, congratulations to this kid. By the time he graduates high school, he'll be retired on some beach somewhere and never have to worry about working.
Little bastard.
It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Well, the New Orleans police caught the shooters of the Canal Street shooters a week ago Sunday afternoon that we've talked about a few times on the show. The reason we talked about it so brazen, 4:30 in the afternoon. It was Sunday, right down the street from the Fried Chicken Festival at Waldenburg Park, right outside Popeyes. And the New Orleans police yesterday named the suspects. We talked about that. They knew who they were, and then they just had to find them. And they did find them, and they found them in Tennessee. 20-year-old Byron Wilson, and his girlfriend, 20-year-old Darian Robinson. And they were seen on the video. We put that video on the Bayou Facebook page as you see these two guys getting an argument, and then one of them starts running in front of Popeyes on Canal Street, and then Byron Wilson took out his gun, fired, missed the guy that he was shooting at, hit a female tourist in the leg, and then one other woman was hit with something. We don't know what exactly, some sort of projectile, but she took off too. And took a few days, but the New Orleans police got their people. And the reason why his girlfriend was arrested, Darian Robinson, is because she is heard on the video telling her 20-year-old boyfriend, shoot him! Shoot him! That's something, huh? You know, usually they say behind every good man is sometimes in this case, that's not the story. So they got both of these in Tennessee, Franklin, Tennessee. And the New Orleans Police Department worked with the United States Marshals Service. And they ended up catching these two yesterday, and they'll bring them back. And that's just south of Nashville. And they'll bring them back to the city pretty soon. So good job. And as I've mentioned on the show a bunch of times, in the high-profile shootings in the city, the shootings that get a lot of media attention, a lot of television coverage, people like me talking about it on the radio, the New Orleans police always get their people. We're still waiting for them to arrest the chicken and watermelon shootings. This is different than the fried chicken festival shooting. This is in the parking lot of the restaurant Chicken and Watermelon on South Claiborne Avenue. That was the last mass shooting in New Orleans a couple of months ago where 10 people got shot, 3 people were killed. NOPD knows who did it. They just haven't arrested the people yet. And the NOPD had a press conference last week saying, we need a little more help in this one. Even though we know who did it, we know who the suspects are, we need witnesses, we need people that can help put these two away when we do finally arrest them. So, good job by the NOPD. Meanwhile, yesterday afternoon, across the street from City Hall, the Idiot Box here in New Orleans, did you see the pictures or the video of this? A shirtless guy with a machete is walking around.
It's like a party at your house.
And so I actually saw this for the first time. One of the people that I follow on Twitter video recorded this as she was pulling out of a parking lot right near City Hall. She said, "I'm leaving from work today, and this is what's across the street from City Hall." And it's this black guy with no shirt on, and he's got a machete, and he's just waving it around. And so, after the authorities were called, it was a Louisiana state trooper. Because remember, the New Orleans police, they need some help. They're about 800 cops short. And it's, I don't know if we're ever going to get to a full police force like we need. But the Louisiana State Police yesterday took down a machete-wielding man outside New Orleans City Hall, the Idiot Box. He was shirtless with a machete in the middle of the afternoon. I don't know why he wasn't working. Tuesday afternoon. The man was surrounded in the park. Duncan Plaza, outside the City Hall entrance. And there he was, waving the machete around. And then the state trooper showed up.
I'm being told now he took a personal day.
Oh, is that why he was working?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The state trooper arrived with a taser. They said that once it became clear the man wasn't going to drop the machete, the Louisiana state trooper used his taser to safely subdue the man. Police said the man was taken to the hospital first for a mental health evaluation. And then he was booked on charges of aggravated assault and resisting arrest.
Nice collar.
And so our mayor, the history-making LaTweeta Cantrell, her name's LaToya, the Destroyer, but I call her LaTweeta because she's on Twitter a lot. She tweets all day. And if she's not tweeting, she's retweeting. She is on Twitter. And she said that thankfully no one was seriously hurt, and the individual in question was taken into custody where he can be evaluated with regard to his mental and medical condition. He obviously has a mental condition if he's hanging around outside City Hall with no shirt, waving a machete on a Tuesday afternoon.
Well, surely they took the machete away from him, yes?
Yes.
One would hope so.
Mental health issues are a serious component, the mayor continued. Mental health issues are a serious component of our commitment to addressing a public safety, to addressing public safety as a matter of public health, and I hope this individual is able to get the treatment he needs.
She said all that on Twitter?
I don't know if that was, she might have later tweeted that. I know that was a statement that was released by City Hall. So there she is. Pretty wild, though, when you see something like that happen on a Tuesday afternoon. I mean, it's right across the street from City Hall. And at first, before the Louisiana State Trooper got there, there were a couple of people, just regular people like you and I, who were standing there, and they weren't moving. And the guy was holding the machete. And I guess the people, I know there was a couple of guys in suits. There was just regular people. They were just standing there, and they were afraid to take off and run. They didn't know if this guy, how fast he was. He looked like he could have some speed. I'm looking at him right now, although the machete looks pretty heavy. And then when the just regular bystanders were cleared away, once the Louisiana State Police came, they took care of that issue. I'm glad you got the audio of the tasing.
I do what I can.
So that's that. Onward and upward. All right. Coming up on the show today. Hey, later on this afternoon, if you own a cell phone, your cell phone's going to go off.
I have audio of that, too.
You're going to get a presidential alert, and there's no way you can opt out. Right. I asked yesterday.
There are several different versions. I have one of the versions.
Yeah, we'll tell you about that, what's going on.
Yeah.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So on Monday, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday on the show, a historic trade deal was done by the United States and Canada. And we already had Mexico involved. That was the way Donald Trump redid NAFTA. The North American Free Trade Agreement, which he ran on doing, and he said that was a horrible deal for us. And I know Canada, with their Prime Minister Trudeau, at first he wasn't happy, but now he's in, and this deal is good for all three countries, and everybody seems to be happy. As a result of our new trade deal with Canada, American dairy farmers will have access to Canada's protected dairy market. The bad news for America is we still have to keep Justin Bieber.
I never knew we had so many countries.
I don't know why he wants to live here. I just don't get it. Coming up on the show, your phone is going to get a text today, and everybody's phone is going to get a text today this afternoon. We'll tell you what that's all about on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So this afternoon, you got your cell phone on you. You're going to get a presidential alert. And I know that there are people that don't like the president that said, how do I get out of this? I don't want Donald Trump to have my cell phone number. I've heard some people say that.
Right.
How can How do I make this stop on my phone? You can't.
Well, you could always turn it off. You can't get it if you turn it off.
If you turn your cell phone off?
Yeah. It's hard to get anything if you turn your cell phone off.
Today at...
And if you're out of range of a cell tower, you can't get it.
Today at 1:18 p.m. Central Time.
That's 2:18 in the East.
You are going, your cell phone will get a presidential alert test.
Right.
That's what it is. FEMA is doing the test.
Right.
They will test a national emergency system that is designed to send an alert to every phone in the country. Guess how many there are? This is the first time the system has been tested. You'll also see a text message on your television set.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And hear one on the radio.
I'll be darned.
Right here.
Well, I can tell you what some of that's going to sound like. I don't know which one this is.
Anonymous.
That's one of them.
Anonymous.
I would like to turn that off. How do I get out of this again?
Anonymous.
Stop.
Anonymous.
Stop.
Anonymous.
That's one of them.
Yeah, the test will be broadcast for about 30 minutes, so I hope it's...
Are you kidding me?
I hope it's not 30 minutes of that.
United States.
You'll get a message box on your phone, push alert, with a tone and vibration. This is not a text from FEMA. Says your phone number is not shared with anyone. And the national test will use the same special tone and vibration like when you hear the weather warnings, tornado warnings,
right.
And amber alerts. We've heard those on our cell phones. The test message will have a header that reads presidential alert and the text that says, "This is a test," in all capital letters, of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System.
Or?
The NWEAS. No action is needed. Cell towers will broadcast the test for about 30 minutes, beginning at 1:18 p.m. Central Time. During this time, compatible cell phones that are switched on within range of an active cell tower and whose wireless provider participates in alerts should be capable of receiving the text message.
Right. This is not going to tell me to watch some stupid concert on the CW, is it? It's not about that.
No.
No.
Bing, 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 bing,
bing, today's test.
The good news, I only have one more.
Today's test is for the presidential alert.
Now,
which is sent to the entire country in case of a national emergency.
Right.
There are only three types of wireless emergency alerts. Amber alerts.
Right.
Like I mentioned, and weather alerts. This will be the third, the
presidential alert.
So now add that to your list. And if you're wondering, can you opt out? You cannot opt out of presidential alerts.
You can just turn it off. There's no way to go off the grid of this, is what you're saying. There's no way to go off the cell grid of this. Now, as a libertarian, how do you feel about this? Because I love it. I think it's great. I love stuff like this. It's like the old days of civil defense, and I'm a little bit too, I don't remember duck and cover, only from Pee Wee Herman TV shows. But I think this is great. I love this.
I'm a little concerned as a libertarian. Brewster, you asked. Not as concerned I was about if you like your doctor and health plan, you can keep it. And then with Obamacare, that was the first time in our history of our country that the federal government mandated that we buy anything. And not only anything, the most important thing in our life, healthcare. To me, that was pretty much blasphemy. This, you know, in case of a national emergency, I mean, have we had many national emergencies in recent history?
National emergency. Since 9/11, I mean,
Think about it. Yeah, and this is a way that
they tell us all the time that there have been close calls, whether it's with airliners or with something related to aviation. I'm not sure if that would warrant a national alert.
This is a way for our president and our federal government to send every American a message at the same time. So, I mean, I know there are some people that they're going to get into my phone. What's next? Are they going to be able to? They going to be able to copy stuff from my phone? Are they going to be able to take stuff out?
Well,
of
there? I got news for you. that ship's already sailed. Come on, of course, every phone call that you make is recorded. Come on, of course it is. Now, is there anything done with it? I don't know. What have I said in the history of this show? If you're not breaking any laws, you have nothing to worry about.
I don't like that attitude.
Yeah,
though.
I do, though. That's...
I don't like that attitude, especially when you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you're telling me there could be a checkpoint and I didn't do anything wrong and all of a sudden I have to stop. And
how
I
did you go from 1:18 p.m. and a presidential alert to now there are checkpoints?
Because of what you said. Well, look, this is going to be the very first national wireless test.
Right.
Although this is the fourth emergency alert system nationwide test in its history. Even though it's the fourth emergency alert system nationwide test, it's the first national wireless test.
Here's what does concern me about things like this, and I think you know the other old adage that I use, that you, as a libertarian it drives you nuts, is that I'm fine with the government keeping secrets from me to keep me safe. And I know that just drives you nuts.
Not
that
really.
Drives, no?
I've always said...
It drives some libertarians nuts.
Yeah, I've always said, I don't think our country needs to know everything. I don't think everybody in our country needs to
you
know
mean the
everything.
The citizens don't need
the
to.
The citizens,
right.
Yeah. They don't need to know everything. I mean, some of the things that go on, Brewster, and you'd be surprised how much we don't know, because it would give, especially maybe senior citizens, heart attacks.
Right. Well, I mean, there are going to be people who are going to, you know, gramps and granny who have a clamshell phone that their kids or grandkids bought them 15 years ago, and this thing's going to go off, and they may have a heart attack when they see presidential alert. I mean, they don't, it's like War of the Worlds and Orson Welles. It has the potential for that. Here's the other thing that concerns me, is that anything like this that can be hacked... can be hacked. Anything that is ones and zeros or binary code, this can be hacked into. And it reminds me of how accidents can happen in when you're talking about nationwide broadcasts or transmissions. Years ago, this happened like at 10 in the morning in the East Coast, and I think it was ABC News. They had... So maybe this was after the maybe this was 2001, but there as I recall, ABC News West Coast sent to the East Coast some footage of 9/11 or something similar to that, not over the air but just through their own satellite system, and they were doing it for like a year in special. But they left tones on it or whatever triggered, it's not teletypes, but triggered in newsrooms all over the country that were under attack. Because somebody, some intern making less than $15 an hour or part-timer didn't code the tape a certain way.
Wow.
That's the only thing that concerns me. And the fact that this could be hacked.
That would be like today when this national emergency message comes on everybody's cell phone, if all of a sudden the message, it's in Russian.
Ooh.
Some guy starts speaking in Russian. Like, could you imagine that?
No.
or Mandarin Chinese.
Oh, I don't want to imagine that
would be something. Now, the emergency message, which goes off at 1:18 today on everybody's cell phones and on television and radio, on the radio and television, is going to last about 1 minute. And that's fairly long, 1 minute at a time.
Right.
And again, I don't know if this is going to last on everybody's cell phones for 30 minutes, but what I'm reading here, it says cell towers will broadcast the test for about 30 minutes beginning at 1:18 Central Time.
Wow. Now, I wonder if you're able to, once you see it, can you acknowledge it and then stop whatever it's doing to your particular phone? I guess we don't know until it happens.
We don't know, but if this thing, because we all know we've heard the Amber Alert, we've heard the weather alerts on our cell phones.
Right.
It's extremely loud, and it is some sound.
Right.
After a few seconds of that, if that just keeps going on, if you can't alert or push something to say that, look, I'm getting it.
Right.
You're probably just going to have to turn your phone off. Who could listen to that for a half an hour?
The final interesting thing here is that apparently there are 90 characters, just 90 characters, available to the president for whatever he wants to say in these presidential alerts. But they're working on increasing that capacity to 360 characters. So maybe the president can comfort the nation as part of these messages. How is this different than, all this is the president wants everyone to see, for example, what he does on Twitter, but of course there are people who aren't on Twitter. So this is like forcing Twitter, forcing tweets from the president basically down your throat into your phone.
So if he can get the extra characters, you think he'll say, well, this is the emergency test and this Russia investigation is still a witch hunt?
Yes.
You think he'll say something like that for the people that don't follow him on Twitter?
Exactly like that.
I got it. Yeah, he's something. He really is. He's an entertaining Twitter follow.
Yep.
Mm. All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you why an American Airlines flight was diverted. I've never seen this reason before. This is something else. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Locked and loaded, 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 locked and loaded.
Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. So an American Airlines flight was just diverted. And I've never heard of this reason why. We have heard of flights being diverted before because of lunatic passengers going crazy on the flight and the passengers having to be subdued by either security on the plane or real tough flight attendants. But this American Airlines flight was diverted because one of the passengers, wouldn't stop performing pull-ups on the overhead bin.
He was leaning up against the where you put the bags overhead, and a passenger came by and said, "What are you going to do, some pull-ups?" And the guy actually grabbed onto it and started doing some pull-ups on the plane in front of everybody. The flight attendant probably asked him about 3 or 4 times to sit down, and he refused to sit down. And then he really got verbally abusive with her. Started calling him names, profanity. Security came onto the plane to go ahead and get him.
That was an American Airlines flight from Phoenix to Boston. I used to love to fly. Now it's just... And I'm glad that guy didn't tell the other passengers, "Hey, you want to see the gun show? Check out these guns." Good thing you didn't say something like that on the plane. But
how would you like to go from 30,000 feet to landing in about 5 minutes?
First time
to start talking like that on an aircraft.
Ever seen a story about an airline flight diverted because one of the passengers would not stop performing pull-ups on the overhead bin? Coming up next, we look at today in history. Why today doesn't suck is what we call it. Suck is next. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
October 3rd. It was today in 1995.
Why today doesn't suck.
O.J. Simpson was acquitted for the murder of his wife and her friend there, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. And what was interesting about that, they figure about half the country either watched it, the decision on television or right. listened to it on the radio. They figure not quite almost half the country. They figure about 140 million people tuned in. They stopped what they were doing.
Do you remember where you were?
Yeah. I was at work at the radio station in Boston.
Did you watch it or you listened to it?
Both. Well, actually, we watched it because we had a TV monitor in the studio.
Right.
And we didn't interrupt programming. We were playing a Metallica song or something right. like that. But I think we were playing Sad But True by Metallica. And we had a television monitor on in the studio. And it was something. And do you remember when you saw news of that later on? Just people, whether they were in New York City or whether they were in Los Angeles or cities all over America, there were cameras set up,
right.
and people had just stopped in the street to just to listen or to watch, because that trial had taken most of the country. They got our attention.
In the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, we, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information.
You heard the audible gasp there, and it probably came from Nicole's family. Well, I can't remember if it was Peter Jennings, but somebody made a terrible gaffe. If you watch that, and they'll show it today, I'm sure it's all over A&E, and they have retrospectives and decades, that channel. But at the time that the bailiff or the foreman or whoever reads that, Johnny Cochran pulls his hand up and pats OJ on the shoulder.
Yeah.
It was erroneously reported, and I think it was by Peter Jennings, who says, oh, OJ has waved to the jury. Well, that's not OJ's arm. That's Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
Slapping him on the back, like, congratulations. And that just stuck with me all these years later, that was clearly not the case, and whoever described that got it totally wrong.
And there were a lot of people that said it must have been the dumbest jury ever, although...
Well, that may have been Marcia Clark, in fact, who actually went...
Well, although, remember, you need reasonable doubt. And even though OJ's blood was at the crime scene and at his house a couple of miles away...
Right.
How in God's name else could that happen?
Right.
I cut myself. legal experts say that Johnny Cochran and the defense team did raise reasonable doubt as soon as they called Mark Furman, the right. cop who showed up, one of the cops who was there at the scene,
right.
as soon as he said that he never said the N-word.
Right.
And then they proved that Mark Furman said the N-word in the past.
Right.
And then they said, look, if that cop could lie about that, he could lie about anything.
And that's in the Los Angeles climate where, since the early 60s...
Well, that's the other reason.
Is there a terrible public relations between the citizenry, especially African-Americans,
yeah.
and the LAPD.
There's the history between black people and Los Angeles cops was not good.
Nope.
And they were pretty much all black jurors, and they said that, boy... And you know what? You know what bothered me the most about when OJ was acquitted today in 1995?
That he still hasn't found the real killers.
Well, besides that,
oh,
there were cameras set up in different places. One camera was set up at a college somewhere in the South, and as soon as the verdict was read, everybody started standing up and cheering and giving high fives.
Right.
Meanwhile, and then you saw other people's reactions. They just hung their head and they couldn't believe it, whether they were watching on a television outside in Times Square
right.
in New York City or wherever. But the fact that people were jumping up and down and giving high fives, you know,
because for many it had become purely about race.
Yeah,
and it's like we have to get this African American defendant free.
Well,
make a statement against the LAPD.
And it became about race when Johnny Cochran played the race card,
right?
At the trial. But that still bothers me. I mean, it's one thing to think, okay, fine, great, you know, the guy got up, but to dance and give high fives,
right? Well, there it is, your OJ update.
All right, October 3rd. Hey, there was another court case today that took America by storm, but it was over in Italy. Very attractive American woman, Amanda Knox.
Why today doesn't suck.
Foxy Knoxy. Her murder conviction was overturned in Italy.
What year was this?
That happened in 2011.
All right.
Before that, she had been convicted of killing someone in Italy. And then she had a retrial, and her murder conviction was overturned in Italy. Today in 2011, and then she got on a plane and got the hell out of there because the Italian prosecutors and the Italian powers that be said that they want to try her again. They want her in an Italian prison.
Yes.
I got a couple celebrity birthdays for you, Brewster.
All right.
Happy birthday today to Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee.
Turns 56 today.
56. And it looked like that band had broken up. They did their final tour last year, but now all of a sudden, it looks like they're making a new album. I think they realized, well, hey, maybe we can still make a couple of bucks here. So I don't know how many people actually buy music anymore, but they decided we're going to make another album. And
right.
Motley Crue, they're working on it right now. And I got one other birthday. Happy birthday to Chubby Checker. He's still alive. That's the shock there.
He is?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And Brewster, it was today in 1992.
Why today doesn't suck.
Barack Obama married Michelle Robinson. He took her hand and he vowed, if you like this ring, you can keep this ring.
That's what he said. Happy birthday also today to former, well, it sounds weird to say, former Fleetwood Mac guitarist Lindsey Buckingham turns 69 today.
And yeah, he is not touring with Fleetwood Mac right now.
No, he's not.
He didn't want to commit to a whole one-year tour.
And there are a lot of people who are refusing to go to that show purely based on that. Happy heavenly birthday. Born on this date in 1954.
Why today doesn't suck.
He would have been 64 today. Stevie Ray Vaughan with a birthday today. And on this date, October 3rd, 1991.
Why today doesn't suck.
Then Texas Governor Ann Richards proclaimed this day Stevie Ray Vaughan Day, an annual motorcycle ride and concert held on this day and every October 3rd to benefit the Stevie Ray Vaughan Memorial Scholarship Fund. So that's a nice thing. Sad news on this date a long time ago in 2000.
Why today doesn't suck.
Bassist and one of the vocalists for the Cars, and I believe the singer of their biggest hit, Benjamin Orr, who was the vocalist on Drive.
Yeah.
Right?
Who's gonna drive you home?
Died sadly of pancreatic cancer in his home in Atlanta. He was 53. And finally, for me, on this date, October 3rd, 2006.
Why today doesn't suck.
Former KISS guitarist Vinnie Vincent lost a Supreme Court appeal in a dispute with former KISS bandmates over royalties for his contributions. I doesn't really say air quotes there, but I sort of added that. To the group's 1983 album, Lick It Up.
How about that? A member of KISS got a case all the way to the Supreme Court. They actually ruled on it.
Exactly. Isn't that something?
And I got one more.
All right.
Finally, October 3rd. It was today in 1990.
Why today doesn't suck.
East and West Germany reunite after 45 years. Less than 1 year after the destruction of the Berlin Wall, East and West Germany come together on what is known as Unity Day. Since 1945, when Soviet Union forces occupied Eastern Germany. And that was that. So,
and that's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, there is a pizza delivery man who is a hero. And I will tell you why. You know, not all heroes wear capes and fly. Some deliver pizza. Stay tuned for that coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So a guy who is a pizza delivery man for Domino's is now a hero this morning. Pizza guy thwarts hostage situation after seeing victim mouth, "Help me." Guy delivering pizzas for Domino's. He is delivering in a town called Waldo, Wisconsin. And he shows up at the door like...
Where is Waldo?
He shows up at the door, and he does what most pizza delivery guys do. He either rings the doorbell or bangs on the door. Pizza's here. He opens the door, and he sees a woman standing there. And while she's paying him for the pizza, she mouthed the words, "Help me." Obviously, the person who she needed help from was probably right behind the door or just right around the corner there. And the guy's name, the pizza delivery man's name, the hero, Joey Grundy. He said, quote, "It's kind of scary." Gave the pizza. And I noticed right there with him was his girlfriend. Oh, so it was the guy that actually got the pizza. And she, over his shoulder, lipped the words, "Help me," while she was pointing to her black eye, which was quite visible. And she mouthed the words, "Call police," as well. So they shut the door. And the quick-thinking driver called 911 and told operators he believed a woman standing behind, right next to this male customer who opened the door, was in distress. He told emergency dispatchers, quote, "I had a delivery. It was a middle-aged couple. The woman clearly had a black eye." Then police showed up at the home. And the perpetrator's name is Dean Hoffman. Hoffman tried to block the woman from opening the door before finally letting the officers in. And evidently, this woman broke up the relationship with Hoffman recently.
Well, there you go. Now we have a motive.
And she told officers that her ex broke into her home and started beating her when she attempted to call 911. And she almost escaped before the pizza. She punched Hoffman in the groin, but just as she was opening the door to get out, that's when he punched her in the face, giving her the black eye. And you know, I mean, it's awful. A man should never hit a woman unless, unless he's about to die, or he's dealing with Rosie O'Donnell. But I don't want to say it's a good thing that he punched her. If she doesn't have that black eye, the Domino's pizza delivery man maybe doesn't think she's in distress.
Well, just think how brave she is, though.
Oh, absolutely.
To do this. I mean, some people would freeze in that instance.
So they ended up getting this scumbag, and he was arrested on numerous charges. And
how was the pizza? That's what I want to know.
I bet you she thought it was a real good pizza. And here's a Domino's pizza driver who woke up yesterday morning as a Domino's pizza driver, just a hardworking guy who got up every day and went to work. And when he went to bed last night, you could add hero to his name because he helped save this woman up there in Waldo, Wisconsin.
Where is that, by the way? I'll have to look that up.
Hey, coming up on the show, we'll tell you about the worst maid ever hired. Stay tuned for that. on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. The State Department is warning Americans against traveling to Afghanistan, as if they needed to do that. Like there's a lot of Americans going around right now thinking, out of all the places on the globe, out of all the places on the planet that I can go visit, Europe, no, Asia, no, South America, no. How about Afghanistan?
Hey, look, some people just don't follow current events like you and I.
You know, you're right about that. But anyways, the State Department is warning Americans against traveling to Afghanistan. I'm bummed out because there goes my vacation to Six Flags over Kandahar. Hey, by the way, can you name Afghanistan's most popular amusement park? Knott's Poppy Farm. Don't go there. Go someplace else. And you know, when do you travel a lot? Do you leave? Have you left the country a lot? If you're listening right now, you know, I used to travel a lot more than I do now. I mean, I still do once in a while, but I used to travel all over the place, and I love to travel. But there are some, and when you travel, you really realize how good we have it here in America. Even though, you know, there are lots of people, many Americans, who hate our country and they don't like it. But when you go to different places, you realize, boy, I'm glad I'm American. You see what's happening in New Zealand if you're planning on traveling to New Zealand, or if anyone is traveling to New Zealand. A new law just started the other day in New Zealand. Every foreigner who comes into New Zealand, who travels to New Zealand, when you land at the airport and you check into their country, besides having a passport or a photo ID, you have to give the password for your cell phone.
Get out!
If you refuse to do it, which you're allowed to do,
then you have to get out.
They fine you $3,200 American dollars. Can you believe that? New Zealand! Pretty cool country, I thought. Pretty beautiful, easy on the eyes. And now you've got
it
people.
It takes like 3 or 4 days to get there, though, by a commercial airliner, I think.
But you know what? They're so far ahead of us on the clock, what time it is, that when you get there, it's like you've only been traveling an hour and a half. There are a bunch of groups that have denounced a new law.
Thank you, H.G. Wells.
They've denounced a new law in New Zealand. Travelers can be fined thousands of dollars, $3,200 American, if they refuse to allow border officials access to their phone. Now, I don't know if they just want to quickly look at your phone, but you have to give up the password to get into your phone right when you're there at the airport. I don't know why they want to look at it. Again, this is New Zealand. This wouldn't surprise me if this was, oh, I don't know, Afghanistan or China. This is a brand new law in New Zealand. It's called the Customs and Excise Act of 2018. And under that law, it just came into force last week, officials demand travelers unlock any electronic device so it can be searched. Anyone who refuses will face not only a fine of up to $3,200, but prosecution as well. I've never heard any horror stories about New Zealand prisons. I've heard horror stories about Mexican prisons, Turkish prisons, Vietnam prisons. I've heard awful stories about that.
But it was Australia that was the prison island, or was it New Zealand back in the day? I guess Australia.
Officials can also retain your cell phone if you don't want to give it up. If you don't want to give up your security code so they could search it, they could just keep it at the airport. And then I guess there's two options. They'll give it to you when you're about to leave the country, or they could potentially confiscate them if you refuse to allow a search of your cell phone at the border. Again, This is New Zealand. The New Zealand Council for Civil Liberties, or the NZCCL, described the new law as a grave invasion of personal privacy of both the person who owns the device and the people who communicate with them.
Panic.
I don't understand why. Could you imagine if that was ever the case in America? Anybody coming?
It's coming. Oh,
you
it's
think
coming.
So?
Oh, of course it is.
What was it? Is TSA going to handle that too? Boy, they do such a good job with the getting people on the airplane.
Don't you know there are still bulletin boards out there online from 1996 that say, Bob Dole is reading your hard drive?
I don't understand why the country of New Zealand would do that. Now, they're saying a couple of things, but it just sounds like more government speak.
A spokeswoman for New Zealand Customs said the change to the law was necessary as the, quote, shift from paper-based systems to electronic systems has meant that the majority of prohibited material and documents are now stored electronically.
Okay, yeah, we've shifted.
End of quote.
Yeah, we've shifted from paper-based systems to electronic-based systems.
Right.
So why do you have to look through my cell phone?
Because you may be carrying onto that airliner prohibited materials and documents. Now, what they think that might entail, I don't know.
What most people carry on their cell phones is...
Porn.
Well,
what I've been told.
Could that be prohibited material? Could that be considered?
Could be.
Most people, what they have on their cell phones is very personal, personal stuff. It's personal to them.
I don't know. New Zealand is so far down the list of my bucket list of desired destinations that it's going to be a while before I can give you an answer to that.
Yeah, I've never really thought about going to New Zealand either. This isn't going to help. But you wonder if something like that could ever happen here in the United States, where foreigners coming in from countries all over the planet, they land at an American airport, and let me see your passport, let me see your photo ID, oh, and let me see your cell phone too.
Well, you recall the case of the couple in San Bernardino, California, the shooting there at the apartment complex or the condo or whatever that was.
Yeah, they were Muslim extremists.
And the trouble that it took to crack open her iPhone. Remember all of that?
Oh, we did shows. We did radio shows about that. Because you had the authorities in California. They had this woman who her and her husband just went in and shot up a business
right. In
San Bernardino, California. They had the woman's cell phone, and I think it was an iPhone. And they could not get into it because they didn't know her password.
That's why I said it was an iPhone.
So they went to Apple, and at first the higher ups at Apple said no. Oh no, we're not giving you this.
Right.
And that was a
Apple thought they were the Catholic Church and thought there was some secrecy of the confessional that they couldn't violate.
I think in the end, either Apple.
I think they complied.
I think either they complied or they gave the cell phone to Hillary Clinton and see if she could break it open.
See if she could wipe it.
She
took a chamois and wiped it.
Yeah, she had a lot of experience with that. So, boy, oh boy, think about that. And it gives you something to think about with our country. If they could ever do something like that to people when they land at our airport, if they say, okay, give up your cell phone. We got to look at a couple of things inside that. You're crossing a line there, although that's something that could be coming. Stay tuned.
See, given the choice, though, standing at TSA between handing over my cell phone or password and taking off my shoes and my belt, I will pick the cell phone every day, all day. That is such a hassle to do that. I understand it's necessary, but... Take your belt and your shoes off to go through TSA.
Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about perhaps the worst maid ever hired. You think, hey, hiring a maid, my life's easy. No, this made these people's lives worse and harder. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock.
The Saints play Washington in the Superdome Monday Night Football. Got a pair of tickets for you to register your chance to win right now at Bayou957.com. Click on Contests. Check out Santa's black and gold sack. And good luck.
And Mark Ingram is making his season debut for the Saints after his four-game suspension. So a little help in the backfield for Alvin Kamara there. So you would think getting a maid is a lot of people's dream. A lot of people would dream about getting a maid. They wouldn't.
And when you say getting the maid, you mean having the maid on staff to do your cleaning.
Yeah, hiring a maid and to clean your house. Most people would dream about that, and they wouldn't have to clean the toilets, and they wouldn't have to clean the floors, and they wouldn't have to clean all of this.
I'll say.
Well, this these two women in New York City, these two roommates, that was their dream as well. But they came home after they hired a maid. They were all excited to open the door and see a clean house. That's not what they saw. Not only was the house messy, there were things knocked over on the floor, and they found one of the maids, one of the cleaning ladies, passed out drunk on the kitchen floor. The cleaning ladies, when they showed up, got into their booze. And there's a picture here, and it's gone viral. But these two roommates live in Brooklyn, New York. They expected a really nice home. Instead, that's what they found. Could you imagine finding it? The first time you ever hired a maid, you come home and there she is passed out drunk on your floor and your house is a mess. I wouldn't have minded if she cleaned the house first
right. And
then drank my booze and then passed out on the floor. At least I'm coming home to a clean house and a passed out maid on my floor instead of a dirty house and a passed out maid on my floor. But the photo went viral up there in New York, and it's not really good for that cleaning service who... And they apologized, and they said, we'll do a better background check.
Hmm.
Hey, coming up next, we've got an update on a story about the most famous actress in China who disappeared. Remember we talked about her?
Yes.
That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Anne Lamarck Ford. So the latest on the Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination. The FBI is doing their investigation. And by the way, this is what came out of last week's circus that was the Senate Judiciary hearing on the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to be the next Supreme Court justice. And the current FBI investigation that is taking place, this is like the sixth or seventh time the FBI has looked into Brett Kavanaugh, because this guy has had serious jobs over the last 25 years, including he was in the George W. Bush White House. He worked there, and he's been one of the most respected appellate court judges recently in Washington, D.C. And so he has had several FBI background checks before. And I don't know what they're going to find now while they're doing this that didn't turn up the previous five, six, or seven times that the FBI has looked into his background. But the stories that we're seeing on television in the meantime just get wilder and wilder. As a matter of fact, did you see yesterday the breaking news was that when Brett Kavanaugh was at Yale Law School, that he was involved in a fight in a bar where he threw ice at a guy. That was the latest. It's like, wait a minute. So he goes from being a serial rapist, he goes from being a guy that goes to gangbang parties, to now throwing ice at someone in a bar while he was in college. That's the latest we saw yesterday. And you might recall there have been three women, and now more women are coming out. But this is all absolutely ridiculous. That third woman, everything she has said has pretty much been a lie. She's had to recant her story, and she's backpedaling on a few things. This is ridiculous. When we saw him having to bring out his high school yearbook, saying where he was on a certain night in 1982, which friends he was hanging out with, how much beer he was drinking, the fact that he liked to drink beer when he was in high school and he was in college. Look, make no bones about it, and we've said this on the show before, this isn't about any of that. This is pure politics. This is going back to what our previous president, Barack Obama, said, elections have consequences. This is the consequence of the last election. And you know what? This is why many conservatives, this is why many Republicans, this is why many people who may not have liked Donald Trump personally, they don't think he's a real good guy, but this is why they voted for him. I'll tell you, this is why the evangelicals voted for him. You know, I mean, he's been divorced a few times, and they're not all down with that. But they knew if Donald Trump became president, he would pick Supreme Court justices that they would agree with, compared to if Hillary Clinton became president, she would nominate left-wing justices. And Donald Trump, he one of the things he ran on, saying that I know there's going to be some Supreme Court openings during my first term. I will vote for the conservative, and that's why many Republicans, even if they didn't like Donald Trump personally or they didn't agree with a lot of the things he said, this is why they voted for him in 2016, and. This is pure politics. There is nothing wrong with Brett Kavanaugh, but you've got political lefties, you've got, you know, about half the country. They do not want another conservative on the Supreme Court for the next generation, for the next 25 to 30 years. And they're going to do anything they possibly can. They're going to say anything they possibly can, which we have seen, to try to get this guy knocked off and not be the next Supreme Court justice. And the precedent that we've seen being set with GoFundMe pages set up with now over $1 million being raised for the first woman, Dr. Ford, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. There's been money raised for her. That is a scary precedent. And look, and I've always said, of course, every accuser should be heard. Everybody who says that they were a victim should be heard. But we need facts. Our the cornerstone of our justice system in our country is we are all innocent until we are proven guilty in a court of law. That's not what's happening right now with Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh. They're all saying, look, oh, he's got to be guilty, even though there's no corroborating evidence. There's no witnesses. The stories are changing. And, you know, people say that are against Kavanaugh, people are saying, well, what if Dr. Ford was your daughter, or what if she was your sister, or what if she was your wife? Okay, fine. Let's hear what you got. That's what last week was all about. But what if Brett Kavanaugh was your son? What if Brett Kavanaugh was your brother? What if Brett Kavanaugh was your husband? And what they're putting his wife and his young daughters through, they're trying to ruin his life, ruin his reputation. And this guy has been called pretty much for the last 25, 30 years of his life since he's gotten out of school. He's been called in the professional world the closest thing to a choir boy that you'll ever find. And so, again, and I've said this before, any rapist or any sexual assaulter should rot in prison. But so should anybody who just makes up a claim that they were the victim of rape or sexual assault. Because now, in my opinion, that's just as bad as the actual act itself. Just making something up and pointing your finger at somebody. And why is this happening? All political. It's purely political.
I had one beer, right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house? I don't know. Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know. But I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember. And a man's life is in tatters. A man's life is shattered.
And, you know, this is why we have three branches of government in the United States. You know, our founding fathers, they weren't perfect, but boy, were they smart. And we have the executive, which is the president. We have the legislative, which is the Senate and the House of Representatives. And we have the judicial, which is the Supreme Court. And the reason why we have those three is because they're all supposed to keep an eye on each other, checks and balances, checks and balances. That's why I have an issue with the Supreme Court, how some of them are, you know, you know how they're going to rule pretty much because of how they are. There's four of them that are left wingers, and there's four of them that are right wingers, and that's why this particular seat, the seat of Anthony Kennedy, which Brett Kavanaugh is up for, that's why this is so important, and that's why the political, because Anthony Kennedy, he was kind of in the middle, he could go both ways, Anthony Kennedy, and that's why the Democrats are doing everything imaginable, everything possible to try to keep this guy off the Supreme Court. You know, last year when Donald Trump made his first Supreme Court nomination, that went through with no problem. That was Neil Gorsuch. He's conservative. And the reason why that went through with no problem is because he was replacing another conservative, Antonin Scalia. But because this seat is the Anthony Kennedy seat, this is the seat that, hey, some days he goes to the right. Some days he goes to the left. That's why this seat is so important. Why half the country is fighting this guy getting into the seat. But boy, what the stories that are coming out from when he was a kid. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous.
I love China.
All right, coming up on the show, we have an update on a story we gave you. The most famous actress in China disappeared. And I asked you last week when we talked about this, could you imagine if that happened in America? The most famous American actress disappearing, not hearing or seeing from her for weeks and weeks, no social media, no anything. That would be a huge story. Well, we have a follow-up on the story of Fan Bingbing, the most famous and popular and richest actress in China. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Either last week or a week and a half ago on the show, we were telling you the story about the most famous actress in China, how she disappeared. And I said, that would be huge if that ever happened in America. And we said, who's the most famous actress right now in America? Maybe Jennifer Lawrence. Maybe
Scarlett Johansson.
ScarJo.
Amy Adams.
Yeah, if you want to go a little older, Meryl Streep. But just imagine if one of them disappeared. And no one saw them or heard from them in a couple of months. That would be incredible. Well, that's what happened in China. The woman's name is Fan Bingbing, and no one knew where she was. Welp, she has resurfaced, and now the Chinese tax authorities have ordered her. She was in the movie X-Men, by the way. They've ordered Fan Bingbing to pay taxes and penalties totaling $130 million, ending months of speculation over one of China's highest profile entertainers gone missing. I mean, she 3 months ago, she just disappeared. And everyone in China, a lot of people are saying, where's Fan Bingbing? I mean, not only was she the highest paid actress in the most movies and the biggest movies, but evidently she was on billboards for all kinds of different endorsements. She was endorsing, whether it was clothes or handbags or shoes or whatever, but she just disappeared. And when we were talking about it on the show, I remember saying, well, she probably is making too much money, and China wants some of that money because they are a communist country. And come to find out, as soon as they saw her again the other day and she's reappeared in public, now they're saying you owe us about $130 million. And I'm thinking the Chinese government made all of this happen.
That's what I want to know. Where is she?
They fined her personally around $70 million for tax evasion.
They say that again. They fined her $70 million.
This is what, it's China. This is what communist countries can do. That's why when guys like Jim Carrey, the actor, said, boy, you know,
we should embrace socialism.
Yeah, we should embrace socialism. Does he realize that means that the minute that we do embrace socialism and become socialism for a country, he's worth $150 million. His bank account would be emptied the minute that we went socialist, because that's what they do. The government takes everybody's money. That's what they do. And, then, you know, the communists aren't far behind there.
By the way, that's 480. 3,823,000 Chinese yen.
Oh, I'm glad you had that.
It's right here.
The yen converter over there in front of you.
I didn't do it in my head. Where is Fan Bingbing?
Yeah, Fan Bingbing. She has to pay $130 million, $70 million personally, and then another $60 million that she's got to come up with. You know, all she has to do is a couple of more movies or whatever. But I just wonder.
I don't mean to beat this to death, but literally, where is she in this story?
Well, she's
is she in custody or?
Well, I think she's back. Nobody said where she was for the last couple of months. Nobody said, and I'm sure, Brewster, I'm sure their government did this, and I'm sure they told her now that she's walking the streets of China again. If you say anything about this, you know, we'll just put a bullet in your head. Bing, bing.
But I feel let down because I was led to believe, based on your tease of this story, that we would find out, where is Fan Bingbing?
Well, she's in China. She's okay. But I think she was kidnapped by the Chinese government. I think they wanted money, and now they're going to get it from her. Boy, she is easy on the eyes. She is very attractive.
Do you think maybe they cheesed her?
I don't know what they did to her, but the Chinese government, you wouldn't put much past them. Would you?
Their human rights record is not all that good.
So there you go. Fan Bingbing, the most famous actress and the most recognizable actress in China.
We don't know where she is.
Well, she's in China, but she's at least...
Well, she was in China last week.
But we didn't know where. At least she's walking the streets now, so it's good news. And maybe she'll be in another X-Men movie, or who knows what she's going to be in.
What did you say, X-rated movie?
X-Men,
I'm sorry.
Good flick. All right, coming up on the show, Amazon is opening, they just did, a brick-and-mortar store. Just when you thought those were done because of the internet, because of Amazon. But we'll tell you what they're selling, which is very interesting. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. We've talked about on this show how... retailers and big businesses, private sector businesses in America, really have to adapt. They have to figure out how to change to stay alive, to stay relevant. Look around local shopping malls. Half of them some of them are closing. Some of them are half filled. You know, we can all sit on our couch in our living room and buy pretty much whatever we want without ever having to leave the house. And, you know, stores and shops and companies, They have to figure out what to do or they're just going to go away.
Well, I would say with the exception, and you'll see this in certain malls, you'll see like, what is the, what's the makeup company that's in malls? I can't think of it.
MAC?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. MAC. How did you know I was thinking about MAC cosmetics? That's very scary. But places like that, I mean, sure, once you've, if you gals out there, once you know a particular cosmetic line or product that you like, you can just keep ordering it online. But at some point, whether it's clothing or makeup or that type of thing, you, there's still, you know, brick and mortar is the way to go. And there's always, whether it be Lakeside or Clearview Mall, there's always something being renovated. I mean, they come and they go, you know, as far as brick and mortar stores.
Or going to, if there's an Apple store in one of these malls, like in the Lakeside Mall,
right?
You know, you can't
get in there with an invitation, hardly.
I remember last time I was in a Lakeside Mall, not that long ago. You know, we saw some empty lots. We saw some stores that were open, but nobody was in them. And
right.
then there was a line around the Apple store. Well, Amazon.com is one of the reasons why. People aren't going to stores anymore. They're fantastic. And how many people just sit there and buy whatever they want through them or others right on their living room couch or their bed in their bedroom, wherever. Amazon, though, has just opened a new brick and mortar store, a real physical store in Manhattan, in New York City. And Manhattan has been getting hit. It's been getting hit hard. They have a lot of open real estate, a lot of storefronts. And it's hurting Manhattan. I mean, people used to go from all over the place to go just shop there. But now that's not happening. And they've got to figure out what to do. They have to adapt or die. Well, this is one of the ways. Amazon just opened a new brick and mortar store, and it only sells its highest rated stuff. So when you go on their website to buy stuff, if you're one of the people that like to rate things or rate your experience or rate what you bought, the only thing that this Amazon, and the name of the store is Amazon 4-Star. The only thing that Amazon 4-Star is selling are things that have at least a 4-star rating or higher. It's a 4,000 square foot space in Lower Manhattan, big real estate, big money. But Amazon's latest retail concept, it looks a lot like your online shopping cart that has been brought to life. It's an actual physical store. They call them brick and mortar. They offer products, only products, with the highest customer ratings, including non-Amazon branded merchandise at the Amazon 4-star store. And if you know, if this store does well, look for them.
Well, I'm not sure what that means. What would Amazon branded merchandise be? Amazon sells everything they sell is made by someone else. They're the conduit. I'm not sure what that means, but
well, it says right here
there is no such thing as Amazon brand cornflakes, in other words. So I think that might be superfluous, unneeded information that the person put in the story that doesn't really add up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it has...
I may be splitting hairs here.
To be in that store, it has to have a minimum of a 4-star rating,
right,
on Amazon.com or be new and trending on Amazon.com.
Okay.
So if it's something brand new...
See, as you know, I order something from Amazon.com. We have Amazon Prime, Mrs. Brewster and myself, and I order something almost every day. Let me give you a true life story from the annals of Brewster's life. Yesterday, I need shoelaces for these particular New Balance tennis shoes that I like that I order from Zappos.com. Stop yawning. It's a great story.
No, I would have just gone to the store and bought shoelaces.
Bingo! Try that. I need shoelaces for these shoes. They need to be a little bit longer. These measure out at about 48. I want them to be 54 inches long. They are a particular color. You can't buy shoelaces anymore.
Wow.
I went to Skechers in Elmwood. They don't sell shoelaces at all.
Wow.
Not at all. I went a couple of different places.
All right.
So that is a true life story where I couldn't find what I needed. So I guess there are, there's a certain big ticket, not big ticket, but big box store that I could have gone to that I chose not to, more due to proximity to my location than anything. But there are times, sure, it's easier to just deal with Amazon, but if you can't find what you need in an existing brick and mortar store, or you can go back to yawning now, I'm done.
Well, no, but you should have prefaced that story by saying your feet are basically like squares.
No, they're not. I have the strength of 10 men. Leave me alone.
Well, if this Amazon 4-star store does well, which people are expecting it to do well, expect Amazon stores, Amazon 4-star stars, 4-star stores to
spit
pop
it out.
Up,
what
to pop up? Maybe even around here. Who knows?
Here is something we don't really have time to delve into right now, but I think this news just came out yesterday or overnight. Toys R Us is going to make a comeback. They're going to come out of bankruptcy and try to open brick and mortar stores and be more focused.
I was real. I read that the other day, and I don't know how much luck they're going to have.
I didn't see it until just this morning, so I don't. I thought it just came out.
But when we talked, the reason they're doing that, because when we talked about it, when they went out finally, Toys R Us, we said people inside the company said, don't just blame online shopping. Don't just blame Amazon. They said Toys R Us has not been run right for a long time. Well, so these people maybe are bringing back the name to maybe, if they run it right, maybe they could succeed.
The story I saw said it left an $11 billion hole in the toy and gaming market. $11 billion. So it's going to be interesting.
A lot of marbles.
Yep.
All right, coming up on the show, there was action in an airport in Italy where they had to blow up a package, but we'll tell you what was inside coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Someone did call us up a moment ago to let us know.
We're talking about Amazon, and they're going to start having brick-and-mortar stores, and I said, well, there aren't Amazon-branded products, but it was in the... That's why I came back with, for example, there are no Amazon cornflakes. Of course, there's Fire Sticks, and there's Alexa, and there's...
And that's what the story was saying, that
right.
they're only going to sell stuff in these brick-and-mortar stores that have a 4-star rating on their website, and that includes non-Amazon.
Right. I can't imagine they're going to, those things will even be involved in the stores. Maybe at point of sale. I don't know.
Well,
so I'm busted, whatever. Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Italian authorities blow up a suitcase in the middle of the Rome airport. There was a suspicious suitcase. The Italian authorities blew it up inside, a bunch of coconuts. So the authorities just left.
Okay.
I see pictures of the blown-up suitcase and the coconuts, and they just left it, and they said somebody else clean it up.
You should put that on the Facebook page.
Coming up next, it's our commercial-free ride. Hang out with us. We got a lot more to get to as well on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Thank you for listening to the show. Ginty is next. Ginty! We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.